on Wednesday nights, which is a study of living faith from the book of James. And so if you have your Bible, please turn there. If you recall our last study, which was focused on Christ's high priestly prayer in John 17, that prayer finished with the confident calling of Christ to glorify our Heavenly Father here on earth through our regular everyday actions. And no book instructs us on how to do that better in a down-to-earth fashion than the book of James does. This book was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, an elder of the Jerusalem church, and it was written to a scattered Jewish congregation throughout the Middle East. They had been scattered from Jerusalem due to the persecution that was caused by Saul of Tarsus, and James writes to them to encourage his congregants to turn their trials into testimonies of God's grace, to take their earthly obstacles that they were facing and to use them as heavenly opportunities to show living faith to a world that is dead in their trespasses and sins. And the first, most basic way that we as believers can do that and demonstrate a living faith on a daily basis is by how we respond to trials, to obstacles, to difficulties, to interruptions in the natural order of things. Whereas unbelievers will often view these trials as irredeemable frustrations and adversities to avoid at all costs, Jesus tells us that we should view them, according to verse 2, as transforming tests sent by God for His eternal glory and our eternal good. And we can look at trials that way because according to verses 3 and 4 of James chapter 1, we know some things to be true about trials from God's Word. Namely, we know that it is through trials that God reveals the genuineness of our faith, strengthens the endurance of our faith, and perfects the integrity of our faith. See, trials force us, like a physical therapist, to exercise our faith, to work out the muscles of our faith. Trials force us to choose whether we're going to look at our circumstances from God's divine perspective or whether we will not. And in that way, trials reveal, strengthen, and perfect our faith. And that is valuable. I came across a quote this past week by F.B. Meyers to describe the benefit and value of trials. He wrote in his day, "A bar of iron worth $2.50 when wrought into horseshoes is worth $5. If made into needles, it is worth $175. If forged into penknife blades, it is worth $1,625. And if made into springs for watches, it is worth $125,000. And what a trial by fire that bar must undergo to be worth this. But the more it is manipulated, and the more it is hammered, and the more it is passed through the heat, beaten, pounded, and polished, the greater its value and usefulness will be. And so every burning flame and every blow of the hammer that comes to us through trials is necessary if our faith is ever going to become more than just a rough, unpolished bar of iron. We can demonstrate living faith by looking at our trials with that perspective. We can demonstrate living faith in that way. Now, that sounds all fine and good, but if we're to be honest, being able to respond to those trials and those interruptions and those difficulties in life like that does not come naturally to us at all. It can only come supernaturally. And so James follows up his call to count it all joy in verses 2 through 4 with a call to ask God in faith in verses 5 through 8, which is what we'll begin to look at today. We need to ask God in faith to respond to our trials joyfully because the only one who can help us do that is God and God alone. And so to aid us in knowing whether you and I are responding to our trials properly by faith, James is going to teach us three truths here in verses 5 through 8. He's going to teach us first the action of faith during trials. That's at the beginning of verse 5. Then he's going to teach us the result of faith during trials. That's at the end of verse 5. And then he's going to teach us the necessity of faith during trials. And that's in verses 6 through 8. And we're just going to look at that first point this evening. So the action, the results, and the necessity of faith during trials. So with that in mind, please follow along with me as I read James 1, verses 2 through 12. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for James's instructions for us. We thank you that he was able to observe the Christian life from Christ himself on a daily basis as he was growing up. And we thank you that he experienced that transformation that living faith produces as he saw the risen Lord. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would teach us through his words this evening so that we might demonstrate a living faith in the midst of this world, so that we might be able to honor and glorify you in this world as Christ prayed on our behalf towards. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us grace according to your word by your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how can you and I know that we're submitting to the heavenly plan and purpose that God has for our lives when we're going through times of difficulties and trials? The answer is simple. Are your actions mirroring what James is teaching in these four verses? Because if you are submitting in faith through this trial, then you will be exercising your faith through this trial. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. And so, how will you be exercising your faith? James is going to show us, overwhelmingly, it is through prayer. This is the action of faith during trials. James writes at the beginning of verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. You know when you are responding in faith in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a trial, because when you're responding in faith to trials, you'll be engaged in the supreme action of faith, which is prayer. You will be asking God to give you what that trial is showing that you desperately need. And what James says here in verse 5 of chapter 1 is what we need more than anything else, especially in the midst of hardships and trials and pressures, is what we need is wisdom. What we need more than anything else, brothers and sisters, is wisdom. That is, the ability to correctly apply spiritual knowledge. That is wisdom. Is the ability to correctly apply spiritual knowledge. And James, highlighting our need for this ability to apply knowledge, this highlight grows right out of what he taught us last time when we were last together. If you see, last time we saw in verses 2 through 4 of James 1 that we ought to count it sheer joy when we meet trials of various kinds. And that we ought to count it pure joy because James says in verse 3 that there are some divine truths about trials that we can know through the pages of Scripture. James tells us three of those truths. We know that trials reveal the genuineness of our faith. We know that trials strengthen the endurance of our faith. And we know that trials perfect the integrity of our faith. We know these things. Like I demonstrated last time, we can turn to the Bible. We can point out passages. We can read stories like with Job or the 12 spies or with Peter that teach and illustrate those very truths that James highlights. Many of us know these truths very, very well. You could stand up tonight and give a lesson like I am right through each one of these truths. But to simply know these truths is not enough. If we're going to demonstrate living faith and count it all joy in the midst of our trials, what we need is the God-given ability to apply all of this knowledge from God's Word to our lives in the midst of our trials, to apply it to our present circumstances. What we need, just as much as we need knowledge, is we need wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom just puffs up. And that's why James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And by the way, if it wasn't obvious, that's a rhetorical statement that James is giving there. In other words, it's pretty obvious that all of us need wisdom. None of us apply all of the truths that we know from God's word perfectly, do we? None save God is perfect in wisdom. We all struggle at different times and in different ways to count it all joy and to see our circumstances from God's perspectives. We all struggle with being patient, particularly in trials. We can't sometimes even survive the Walmart checkout lane, let alone other trials that come into our lives. We would all rather escape the pressures rather than endure the process that produces steadfastness in us. We all need grace to apply the truth of God's word to the trials that we face. And so James says here, when you're going through a trial and you're feeling the pressure and you're recognizing you really need help seeing this from God's perspective, James says, let him ask God. Ask God for what? For wisdom. That's our greatest need when we enter trials. It's not deliverance. It's wisdom. As Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. In other words, how do you start becoming wise? You start becoming wise by recognizing that you're not. And that your greatest need in life is wisdom from God. Friends, the wisest person on planet Earth is the person who knows they're not wise and therefore asks for wisdom. As Proverbs 12 verse 15 states, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And that's where all wisdom begins. It begins by recognizing biblically that you are a fool. If you were to study the descriptions in Proverbs and Psalms, you are a fool and your greatest need is wisdom. And James reiterates that truth here. Our greatest wisdom in the midst of trials, in the midst of life, is wisdom. The ability to see our trial, see our circumstances from God's perspective, and apply that knowledge to our lives. As I was thinking about it, it's like going through a good corn maze. I remember our family going through a pretty big corn maze quite a few years ago in Pennsylvania. If you went into that maze without any way of seeing the big picture, you would get completely lost. And that's why they gave a map with the maze printed on it. As long as you kept your eye on the maze and kept applying it to where you were in that maze at any given moment, in about 30 minutes or so, you'd make it through that maze just fine. However, during our family's visit, there were several young boys who decided they didn't need to do that. And just before it got dark, which was really bad, they took off into the maze confident that they could navigate it completely by themselves. Needless to say, even though these boys started ahead of us, by the time we were walking out of that maze, we heard those boys crying in the middle of the maze, "Help, get us out of here." Now in that moment, they thought that they needed what? Deliverance from that maze. You know what they really needed? Wisdom. They needed wisdom enough to look at the map, to see the big picture, and to apply it to where they were. So it is with us. In the midst of trials, our greatest need is not deliverance from the trials. Our greatest need is wisdom for the trials. Our greatest need is to have the ability to see our life and those moments from God's perspective and to be able to apply that divine knowledge to our issues. And so James says, ask God. Now, there's a lot of people that you can and perhaps should ask wisdom from, but God is the source of all wisdom. And before you ask anyone else for wisdom in life, always start with Him. As Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, it is the Lord who gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Or Psalms 51 verse 6 puts it, you delight in truth in the inward being, you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. What you need most, God has in abundance. And so James tells us, ask God, who we're told here, gives generously to all without reproach. Now notice, this is our motivation for why we should ask God for wisdom. It is because we know that God is gracious. He gives generously to all. He gives generously to all, even foolish people, without shaming them and without reproach. And because we know that God is gracious, generous, and kind, we should not hold back from asking Him for wisdom. We should draw near. It's very similar to what Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to Him must believe two things, that He exists and that He does what? rewards those who diligently seek him. Or as James puts it, you must believe that he gives generously to all without reproach. We ask because we believe. If we're not asking, it's because we're not believing. And so living faith in the midst of trials always prays. It prays because it believes. It believes that God gives generously to all without reproach. And that word generously, I'll just finish with this, is interesting. It only occurs this one time in the New Testament. And it comes from a root word that means singleness of mind or undivided purpose. In other words, when you ask God for the ability to do what he commands, in this case, count it all joy and look at life from God's perspective, you don't have to worry about whether God wants to help you in that or not. He has an undivided singleness of purpose towards that end. And that purpose is to give his children absolutely everything they need to live for him in those moments. As your heavenly Father, he always, unwaveringly, is eager to help you. And you can believe that. And so ask him. As John Calvin put it, since the Lord is ready to help us, provided that we ask, let us therefore learn, whenever he commands anything, to ask of him the power to perform it. And he will give generously to all without reproach. He will never scold us as we recognize our need for him. Because of his singleness of purpose as our Father, when we ask him for what we need in the midst of trials, it will always be given to us. But that'll be what we'll expand on next time. But for tonight, we've seen that the action of faith during trials is prayer. How do you know whether you're trusting God in the midst of difficulties? Question, are you bringing that issue before the Lord in prayer? That is the action of faith during trials. Specifically asking God for wisdom. James reminds us that in the midst of trials, our greatest need is not immediate deliverance, but rather divine insight, the ability to apply the truth we know to our current circumstances. That wisdom allows us to see our trials from his perspective and causes us to rejoice and persevere for all the world to see. That doesn't come naturally. And so James wants us to know right off the very beginning that the faith that endures is the faith that asks. When we recognize our need for wisdom in the midst of life, our first response should be to turn to God in prayer. He's the source of all wisdom, and he will give it generously to all, even us foolish people, without reproach. God's purpose is singular, to give us what we need to live for him no matter what we might face. And so, as we move to our time of prayer after this meeting, hopefully, let's come before God with a confidence tonight, knowing that he can give us the wisdom and strength that we need to navigate the challenges that he's put before us. Let's pray for hearts that trust in his goodness, that seek his perspective, so that we might show, as James describes, a living faith in the midst of trials by praying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to look at your word. We thank you, Father, that you know every moment of our lives before we enter into it, and you have seen every trial and testing. We know it falls from above, from your loving hand. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us as believers in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us to look at trials from your perspective and know that you will give us everything we need to honor and glorify you in these moments. And so, Father, help us do that even tonight as we consider the many different trials and circumstances that are on this prayer sheet, that are in our own lives. Help us to consider all of this in light of the grace and the wisdom that you will give to generously to all your children when they ask. We thank you for your love for us and for being our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.